Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
So, Mike Maniscalco, the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes, my overtime intermission friend, and Walt Ruff, the Hurricanes.com content maestro, who is also my intermission friend. These are people I talk to so much during the season. And we still have more season. Thank you to both of you for dropping by. Mike, are you recovered from last night? Trip kept you longer than you wanted to be up there.
Yeah, just a touch. Well, I have to run downstairs, and I had the Bally post game Hurricanes Live commitments to get into. And as you know, players don't like waiting around for interviews. So, no, it was great. And I'm glad we got the chance to get the end for that, because Tripp has to put the cap on that. I almost was going to say Tripp and Adam on the other side.
Yeah.
Just go from there. But no, I'm fully recovered. And I might not have gotten a lot of sleep because of how that series ended. Of course, anytime there's an overtime winner, it's just great hockey. Even if that was for a sweep, when a series ends in overtime like that, it's phenomenal. So, yes, I am fully recovered and ready to go.
All right, by the way, I have an overtime trivia question I'm going to ask both of you in a minute. Walt Ruff, when did you get to sleep last night?
Far too late, Mr. Gold. I'm going to follow suit with that of Mike Maniscalco and say it's very hard to sleep after a situation like that. I mean, an overtime winner, yes, but to do it at home in front of a crowd like that, it was just an electric atmosphere to see the joy on the face of both Rod Brind'Amour, you know, the coaching staff and the players. It was a really special night, and I'm really grateful that we get to do this for at minimum one more round, hopefully two more.
Yeah, I mean, they're only halfway through. That's how much of a grind the Stanley Cup playoffs are. And I know the NBA playoffs are the same. They have to win the same number of games. But, boy, it just seems like you go through so much more to do this. All right, Mike, so last year when the Hurricanes bowed out of the playoffs against the Rangers, the narrative was, and it wasn't wrong, man, the Hurricanes need to find some more goals. And that narrative carried throughout the summer, and it carried throughout the season. Max Pacioretty was brought in. You know, we can mention Andre Kasha, although nobody's surprised, given his history. I hope just he's able to have a good life, because he has had so many concussion issues. But Pacioretty, Svechnikov gets hurt with 20-some-odd games left, a little bit less. Teuvo Teravainen gets hurt in the second game of the playoffs. He should be back at some point during the next playoff round, maybe more than likely. Anyway, I don't want to speak for Teuvo here, but how did they do it with less goal scorers this year than last year?
I think it's pretty simple, and it's what this team has preached pretty much since day one for Rod Brind'Amour. It's the group. It has to be everybody. It's not just one guy. And in this series, Adam, we saw the defense do what they did in the regular season. You know, 59 goals from the blue line led the NHL. Well, they got back into the scoring party against the New Jersey Devils. So that's a big part of it. But, you know, you take a look on any given night, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, that locker room, they're not looking at one guy saying, well, he's going to score. The locker room's like, all right, I'll make a play tonight. You know, give me the puck. I want to be out there. And you've got this mix of savvy veterans who know how to play at this time and the core that's been through it. I think there is that something to knowing exactly with what you just said, how hard it is to win. But knowing that this group has been through it together the four previous postseasons, not falling on the same mistakes that they made in years past. And I did not see any of those things happen. And I think you got to start with special teams, where the Canes penalty kill has been phenomenal in the first two rounds. And you can say what you want to about the Islanders not having firepower. I mean, the Canes gave them absolutely nothing. One power play goal in that series. And then that's all we heard, you know, New Jersey in this power play. And the Canes only give up two power play goals in this series to the Devils. They outscore the Devils' power play shorthanded, 3-2. So, I mean, that's something that if you tell me you win those battles, that's where the goals come from. And then the timely saves, you know, that's a big part of it. But, you know, this is a team that once it gets rolling, it's hard to stop. And we've seen that all year, and now it's carried over to the playoffs.
Yeah, you mentioned timely saves before. I just want Walt's take on that particular issue. You say timely saves. There's been a lot of timelies because Freddie Anderson's save percentage in the playoffs is .931, and that's with a four goal on 12 shots game number three. So he has been outstanding, not just good and timely. He's been outstanding throughout. So, Walt, how do they win with fewer goal scores?
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Yeah, Mike did a really good job of breaking that one down because it truly is by committee. When you pull up the stat sheet for the series as a whole, I mean, just about everybody found their way into the goal-scoring category. Only three forwards that played every game in the series didn't score, so that means they were getting it done in a variety of other areas. Six of the team's 24 goals in the series coming from the blue line, which was an incredible step forward after just 1-for-16 in the first round. So, again, that's where maybe not having that guy, again, as Mike said, pays dividends because somebody has to step up. You can't rely on, you know, Sebastian Aho to go out there and get you a goal. Of course, a night like last night, we were all looking at him, as, you know, he was all over, but he was kind of fighting the puck a little bit. And it wound up not having to be him to get the goal. So maybe that's one performance you bank from Sebastian, and maybe there's a game or two in the next round where he does have that electricity to his game and that jump that allows him to be the superstar that he is and potentially net you a couple. But it's just really that by committee and getting goals in a bunch of different areas.
By the way, the Hurricanes are averaging 3.7 goals per game before last night. So it went down slightly and up probably about a full goal per game over the regular season. Look, I think the style that they play has something to do with it. Because, and this is why at points when, you know, whether I go on with the guys in the fourth period on Sirius on weekends, and it was right after the Svechnikov injury that they asked me about it. And I said, I think they'll be okay. And they're like, how are they going to be okay without a 30-goal scorer, which Andre would have been this year? And I said, because this the style that they play, will somebody else will score those goals. And I feel like the way they go about playing almost makes them not immune, because you're going to need a big goal scorer at some point. That's why they went and got Pacioretty. I think their style has a lot to do with it, Mike.
Oh, absolutely, Adam. And I think for me, if you watch the Canes play night in, night out, they're tenacious. And they just come at you wave after wave after wave. And you mentioned, you know, what they're able to do by committee, or somebody will step up. The Jordan Martinook series, I know you called him, what, Connor McMartinook?
Connor McMartinook, yeah.
I counted on Canes Cast, plug for the podcast for the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's fine.
I counted, I'm like, why don't we call Connor McDavid? Why aren't we calling him Jordan McMartinook or Jordan Jordan Martin David? Something, whatever. Because 10 points in that playoff series for Jordan Martinook, yep, is ridiculous. But the other line, and you know, Walt was referencing it, there were three forwards who played who didn't get a goal. Well, you had Paul Stastny, Derek Stepan, and last night Mackenzie McEachern. That line was phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, they don't really factor in on the score sheet, but they hemmed in New Jersey. And, you know, in years past, Adam, I think that the Canes, when they get to this point, because of the style they play, and they don't come off of it, and they play it for 82, and then you get to the playoffs, and that gets ramped up, it takes a lot out of this team. I think that they have learned how to use rest as a weapon. A great Bill Burniston comment, the strength and conditioning coach for the Canes, but Rod Brindamore, buys into that. And again, he listens to his training staff. He listens to Doug Bennett, the head athletic trainer. He listens to Bill Bernstein, listens to his assistants, and they put that into practice. He listens to the coach, to the captains and the players. So you see them now. They're fresh. And I think that this win over the Devils, getting this series done in five, will pay dividends in the next round because of the way they play. They can rest and reset and go from it. But it is because they are tenacious. And you look, and Rod does this. He never likes it. You've asked him when you label lines. He goes, yeah. I don't see it that way. Here's the first line to you. So he truly, that's how he views the game. That,
yeah.
You know, the line that's out there has got a job to do. And if they do it, this team will be fine. And that's how we've gotten to this point where the Canes are now in the Eastern Conference Final.
That's because when whatever line Jordan Staal is on is the top line to the head coach, and I have no problem with it. I think Rod sees so much of his game in Jordan that Jordan is so responsible defensively that that's really what is the backbone of this team, is more goal prevention. That's the other thing I said to those guys. It's more about goal prevention than goal scoring anyway, and so nothing will change. What is your main story takeaway from this series against the Devils?
Wow. I think it's that they found a way to limit New Jersey's offense. And I know, looking at it from their side, they may be feeling how Carolina might have felt during last year's second round series in the Rangers, and that they expected a little bit more out of their big dogs. I mean, my goodness, that one sequence last night between Jack Hughes and Timo Meier that had them an opportunity to go up by two in a pivotal juncture of the game, and it seemed like almost neither of them wanted to shoot, and then eventually it goes wide. I think that one's going to haunt them for a little bit, but as a whole, I mean, it was a pretty darn good series for the Carolina Hurricanes, aside from the very atypical Game 3. We heard guys using phrases like losing the 50-50 puck battles,
right,
and things of that nature. It also goes to show how good Carolina's attention to detail is. And as you and Mike were just talking about, they don't change a whole lot, you know, series to series. Yes, they shuffled the forward lines to go against New Jersey for a variety of combinations that they haven't used over the course of the regular season, but stylistically, nothing changes. They force the opposition. They make them be so good in order to have to try and create offense. That's the only way they're going to get it done, unless we see what we saw in Game 3, which again was just so uncharacteristic from the Kings. Outside of that, they were in control for the bulk of the series. There was so little that New Jersey could do that wasn't Carolina making mistakes. So that's a big one for me, because when you start to look ahead and look at the next series between Toronto and Florida, and these are two high-powered, run-and-gun style offenses, and yes, at times, that's what has worked against Carolina, but it's also a double-edged sword, because those are the groups that turn the puck over. And who turned the puck over a lot in the last week and a half? The New Jersey Devils, and that didn't really work out for them.
No, it did not. This was also a great series to put on display just how much of a freak show Jacob Slavin is defensively. And I say that in the most endearing possible way. Rod believes that he is the best defensive defenseman he's ever seen.
Yeah,
and
I would
agree with that.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I don't need to add to it. I just don't disagree with what Rod Brind'Amour said. We get to see it every night. That play he makes on Michael McLeod in Game 4.
Yeah.
To set up the go-ahead goal for Marty Natchez, where he gets the pass to Jordan Martinuk. I mean, I'm serious when I say this. There might be eight guys in the league who make that play, and it's phenomenal.
McLeod didn't even know the puck was gone right away. It's like, where'd it go? And all of a sudden, Martinuk's got it, and then Natchez has got it. All right, I'm going to ask both of you to see if you can fill out this list, okay? And there's one. I'm basically going to give you one guy missing, because we've already done this on the radio. 9-4 in overtime. Mike Maniscalco and Walt Ruff are joining us here, the play-by-play voice of the Hurricanes and the chief content maestro for Hurricanes.com. 9-4 in overtime in the Rod Brind'Amour coaching era for the Canes. Jordan Staal's got three. Jesper Fast has two. Paul Stastny has one. Sebastian Aho has one. I'll just leave it there. Who has the other two? There's two players. Each have one overtime goal. Mike, who's got one of them?
Oh, man, I should know this. well, the easy one is Brock McGinn, double overtime in 2019.
Yes. Walt, you want to take a stab at the other one?
No, I don't. I'm going to respectfully decline.
All right, Mike, back to you.
All right. It's spinning.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
I want to go. Marty Natchez had just a run there against Nashville where he scored big goals. Did we already say Marty Natchez?
No, we did not.
I'm going to say Marty Natchez.
No, Sebastian Aho is the only, and I'll put it in air quotes, goal scorer that has an overtime goal in the 5 years of the Rod Brind'Amour era. How about Ian Cole? Game one against the Rangers, right? And this is why when we do these overtime challenges, who are you going to pick? And I go, well, give me somebody dumb. Because no offense, but that's probably who's going to score. Jesper Fast has two overtime goals. He has five goals in the playoffs. He's got as many goals in the playoffs as Sebastian Aho does. He had 10 during the regular season. He's got five. He's got half as many goals. Overtime just leads to silliness. Walt, who do you want in the next round?
I think Carolina would have better success against the Florida Panthers. That's, again, I know a very dangerous slope to go down, but we saw during the regular season, especially late in the regular season, the final game of the regular season, 82 out of 82. That was a weird game. They faced some adversity in that. Mm-hmm. We saw them have to bounce back a couple of times in the game. That was, again, maybe not the best performance of Frederik Andersen's career, so maybe there's a little something that he wants back from that game as well. Toronto, I think, you know, you're lying if you say Toronto's stars that they have at forward don't scare you a little bit. I think Florida is a little bit different in terms of the pieces that they have, and why not for the Rod Brind'Amour-Paul Maurice storyline too?
Mike?
I was going to give you the coach answer. It doesn't matter who they play, Adam. It's going to be a tough series, you know.
That's not my. We don't want to hear that.
All right, so I'm going to run down this line. With what Walt said about Florida, the thing that scares me about Florida is how talented they are up front, and Sergei Bobrovsky, when he gets into that groove, can be one of the best goaltenders on the planet.
Yep.
That's a little bit frightening for me. And they have a bunch of irritants on that team in Florida.
Yes, they do.
Led by a superstar in Matthew Tkachuk, and maybe one of the most underrated players up front in Alexander Barkov. By the way, sneaky Finnish name in history.
Yeah.
But when I look at Toronto, and I've actually tried to do this scientifically. Walt, you hit it right on the head. How good they are with their... And can everybody please stop saying the core four? That's the New York Yankees, not the Toronto Yankees.
Oh, my gosh. Can't believe it.
For you, Adam.
In a way, it's sort of like Eddie Olczyk praising Ron Francis. We were going to get a Yankee reference out of Mike Maniscalco.
You knew it was coming, but how dangerous they are, how dangerous their power play can be. But when I look at Toronto, the goaltending the Canes can beat, the defense is okay, but not above average in the playoffs. And if they win this series, I would wonder, you can say, well, they have all the momentum. I believe Rod Brind'Amour, momentum doesn't carry over from series to series.
I agree.
Game. And I would wonder if you're Toronto, would you just spend everything if you become the fifth team ever to do it? To win a series after falling down 0-3 in the NHL playoffs. I don't count the one that happened in the 40s for Toronto, so it'd be five different teams who've done it.
Right.
So I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think that the Canes could find a way to handle Toronto But again, in either matchup, Adam, it's going to be hard fought.
I think if Carolina manages the puck well, they're probably better suited to play Toronto than they are Florida if they manage the puck well. Because I think Florida will come at you with more speed and aggression than Toronto will. As good as Toronto is, both teams are, I think, in terms of their rosters. They're both absolutely loaded. What are you going to do with, let's just say, 3 days off, Mike?
I got some stuff around my house that needs to be fixed.
Gosh, that's boring.
So that's about it. No, yeah. nothing else to do. If it's 5 days, maybe I'll take a jaunt to the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, always good. Wooden shoes, clogs. Walt, what will you do with your days off?
Probably not the Netherlands, but you could probably catch me on Glenwood Ave at least one night. That will definitely be happening. But hey, sunny in the 80s and a Friday, Raleigh area, come on now. I mean, what more could you ask for? This is gorgeous.
It seems to be an outdoor cafe in Walt Ruff's future. Mike,
a rooftop in my future.
Ooh, very, very nice. Very nice. Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. What's the podcast you're plugging? What was that again?
That'd be Canes Cast.
Canes Cast.
And then there's Canes Corner, which is also
you started
a
that
podcast.
You're
the guy who started that.
Mike is the guy who started it. There's no question. It's not even my intellectual property anymore. it doesn't belong to me. We just keep it warm. Walt Ruff, the next guy's going to have to do it. Walt, I thank you very much, man. At Walt Ruff, at Mike Maniscalco. We'll see you guys both in a few days.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, that was fun. Why not talk about the Canes? They're the hottest thing going.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.